To Australia now, where times are tense in the state of Victoria because of outbreaks of COVID-19, which have brought fresh cases in double digits every day, I think, for the past fortnight. 41 new cases yesterday, which was almost twice as many as the day before. And the state premier earlier in the week sending out the message that people shouldn't come to Melbourne unless they really had to. Well, Rebecca Holt is a former communications manager for the New Zealand Police and a former TV3 journalist. She's now living in Melbourne. Hi, Rebecca. What is the mood right now? I guess a bit tense as well.
Oh, look, it's hard to tell what the mood is, Colin, hopefully because people are behind their masks. Unfortunately, they're not behind their masks, as I found out yesterday. I went to the supermarket. I'm in one of the hotspot areas. And there wasn't particularly busy. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I thought there would be a lot more people. With that news breaking in the last few days, I thought there would be a lot more people wearing masks, but there wasn't. I was about one of four people in the entire supermarket. So given that I'm in that inner north corridor where we've had the big outbreak, 41 cases yesterday, it was interesting to note.
Yeah, I mean, emergency text messages we gather being sent out to residents in a couple of suburbs, encouraging them to get tested. I mean, that really is the sort of thing which would ramp up the level of alarm, wouldn't it?
You'd think so. I think there is alarm, but the alarm is the people who are locked into a news cycle. So what I'm seeing anecdotally coming back from other journalists and just in the news environment is that there are a proportion of the population who aren't actively watching the news and so aren't connected to that sense of alarm as such. I mean, we've had 15 cases of community transmission with no known source, and a lot of those cases have been linked to the quarantine hotels as well, or suspected. We've got just some hundreds of quarantine hotel workers have had to isolate while being tested. So you'd think that some of that information would be getting out there, but it still seems to be coming up against what news people absorb in their everyday life.
Wow, that's quite surprising. I wonder, those who are following the news, I mean, for them psychologically, it must be difficult because things seemed to be going so well, so much so that, as you're probably aware, people in New Zealand were saying we should have done things the Australian way because they didn't shut down as hard and as heavy as they did across the Tasman. So for people who felt things were getting better, is it doubly difficult now to imagine actually things are sliding back, particularly in and around Melbourne?
Yes, so Victoria is the special child of Australian states right now, and there is some internecine warfare going on between the state premiers with border closures. So if, for example, the NT announced yesterday, Northern Territory announced that if anybody came up who had been in the local council areas in Melbourne, where I'm living, they would have to basically isolate for a couple of weeks. And the language around that was very interesting. The premier said, you know, people would be encouraged to dob in other people if they had not reported as coming from those problematic areas. So I think that could give you an idea that there isn't a solution nationwide and it isn't smooth.
What about your contract tracing, though? Because here in New Zealand, that was a real concern. If we had more community transmission than we ended up having, if we hadn't flattened the curve quite so quickly, it looked very much like we dodged a bullet there because our contact tracing wasn't up to it. I mean, you had the government-backed app up much, much sooner than one in New Zealand, for example. Are the officials confident that they can track these clusters when and where they develop?
So it's the manual contact tracing that is working at the moment. The app has not identified any close contacts of a person infected with the virus who have not already been found through that manual contact tracing. So despite being downloaded by more than 6 million Australians in 2 months and at a cost of $2 million, the app hasn't thrown up one case yet. There's problems with it. It can only be used on reasonably new smartphones, and there have been issues with Apple phones in particular.
And what about enforcement? Are We read that police were given powers to issue fines and that some $10 million worth had been already meted out. I mean, if the situation gets and carries on being serious like this, are we going to see, you know, the cops basically policing this and punishing people? And if so, is that a good idea?
Well, that $10 million, Colin, is just in Melbourne. So the police have been very active in fining in Melbourne, in Victoria in particular, and there is criticisms around that because the areas in which we have the outbreaks and the resurgence of cases are migrant communities, and there is the criticism, the very valid criticisms, that the state hasn't done proper communication into these multicultural environments. Now, I think that you can't look at the policing situation without looking at the comms into the migrant communities. I think it goes hand in hand. My experience of living in these places is that the Victorian police feels heavy-handed, and there's been a lack in the communication into effective engagement in their community. I was interviewing refugees and migrants in late to mid-March, and I found myself in a situation where I had to explain to a person that I was going to interview that it was not a good idea for us to be in the same room because of what was happening. And I knew that this person had been working across multiple environments. And so I was trying to just find some information for them in their first language and realised I couldn't, and had a series of discussions with friends in other newsrooms. And we realised then there was a real deficit in the languages that had been translated. And we were all ending up going to international sources for those basic facts getting translated. Now, the Department of Health has said that the national campaign has been translated into more than 20 languages across radio and press and digital, and a range of fact sheets were available in over 60 languages as of last week. Now, just some stats for you. More than 20% of Australians speak a language other than English. And in one of these suburbs adjacent to where I am, you can have over 300 languages spoken. So these are the suburbs that are the hotspots. They're heavily multicultural areas, and you could reasonably expect at a primary school, for example, more than 200 languages to be spoken. So the criticism is that the work that the government did on translations was too static, and that it stayed on a website. It wasn't brought out into the community. An interesting thing one of the reviewing panels said last week is that you actually needed a degree to understand what was there in the internet information on the website. And so we've got issues of accessibility, even to the information that had been translated, namely, how do people who don't live on the internet find it?
Yes, that sounds really worrying. Things that the government, you'd think, and the authorities should have thought about beforehand. Well, thanks very much, Rebecca. Worrying times in Melbourne and across the state of Victoria. Fascinating glimpse of how they're handling life under COVID, a bit different to the situation here.